At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yo, 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 you already know who it is. Price Rob, Bramigos Podcast in the building. Back today, new channel.
Building.
Come the internet to building. Us. Feel the dreams.
Oh, go ahead. Feel the Sunday dream.
Feel the dreams, baby.
Black
feel
Sabbath shirt.
Yes, yes. Today, on a Sunday, we bring you guys some stuff that we do want to talk about. We want to talk about, do you think pro leagues will take over the youth sports in America? We want to talk Ja versus Clay. We want to talk if the career of Zion Williamson ended today, would he be one of the greatest busts ever? And do you consider Anthony Davis a bust? Also, Steve Kerr thinks that, you know, the pace of the game is causing groin injuries, which have been on the rise for the NBA currently. And we're going to talk all of that right now. Bramigos Podcast. Sit back, relax. Let's get in there. It feels so good to be on a new channel. Hopefully, we can draw new viewers.
Put my feet on the couch.
You might have to sit back and relax and get busy with this one. You know, we probably won't keep you guys too long today on the
couch.
Show. But we do want to talk a few things. You know, as always, you know. I'm Price. That's Rob. Usually we have a third sometimes. You know, Visky, he's not here today.
On assignment again.
On assignment as usual. But nonetheless, me and Rob are going to hold you guys down with some good old-fashioned sports content today. Rob.
What up?
Let's kind of start off light right now. Pro leagues with the youth of America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which way that this could go, bro, because we're starting to see this kind of take over right now. We're having pro leagues and NIL deals everywhere right now. It's all kind of going crazy, okay? Do you think sooner or later this might take over America? Because, you know, we're all about the dollar here. We all about the dollar. We got to make it happen. I think that this might be possibly an issue in the forthcoming future. What do you think?
Yeah, so overall, like, I think when it comes to what we're going to talk about a little bit later with some of the injuries that are happening with the league,
I think that
it's going to come a time that pro leagues are going to be like, hey, we need to basically take control of youth sports in this country. Main reason I think it's going to happen that way is because, like, when you see basically like pitchers, for example, a lot of these pitchers throw a ton of pitches in all of these showcases and all of these different things that basically mess up their arm and mess up their shoulders, that when it comes to the time that they're now in that league, is because everybody's got to be more cautious. Everybody has to basically make sure that they're not overthrowing these fireballers because they don't want, you know, catastrophic injuries. And so, like, I think when it comes to pro sports, and I think that they're going to look at it like how I think or how I see that, you know, say Purdue Farms looks at their chicken. So, like, Purdue Farms contracts out to different farms to basically raise the chickens and then bring them back so that they can basically cut, slice, and dice and all that stuff and put it basically on the tables. So I think that pro leagues, not, you know, they're not going to cut, slice, and dice, of course, but they're going to basically see that, okay, yes, we have RBI baseball. Yes, we have AA. Well, I don't know if the NBA does anything with AAU necessarily, but let's say RBI with baseball. If we already have this type of league that we essentially put out there to basically say that, hey, we're going to try to get kids in the inner cities to go play baseball, why wouldn't they just go ahead and say, you know what? We're going to control and make sure that, like, the people that we have that are coming to our league that are basically going to be the crops that we're going to have come to us, I think they're going to be like, hey, we need to manage this a little bit better than what, maybe the people that are in these other leagues or in these other places are managing them so that when they get to us, or if they get to us, then we have something better than what basically, you know, that we've already know, like, okay, this person pitched this much. This person has done this. We've mm-hmm. kind of made and manufactured, like, this person, when they come to us, they're having longer careers because we know what's going on with them. So I think it's just something that they're going to keep in mind, because football is going to have this problem when it comes to concussions and stuff like that, especially when, you know, they're talking about youth sports. Basketball, when it comes to a lot of these injuries that basically we see, and we're going to talk about, like I said, talk about a little bit later, but I think it's going to come to a point, just like with soccer and these academies, mm-hmm. I think these leagues are going to say, you know what, we need to basically take control of it.
Yeah, I could definitely see a lot of that shit happening, bro. It's going to be a thing where I think pro leagues are starting to take over at like a rapid pace. And eventually there's going to have to be something to try to stop or compete with this, or they're going to have to figure this out some way, shape, or form. It's with baseball and soccer, I kind of expect it because of how like worldwide those two. But as like basketball has grown worldwide, you're seeing it a lot. It's there also with all of the pro leagues. And it looks like it's one of those things that once a sport figures out how to be worldwide, it's just destined to happen.
Right.
But the major organizations, I think, sooner or later are going to figure out how to get a wrangle on all of this. Just like how NBA kind of has a hole with the G League right now. Mm-hmm. They have their own developmental for basically saying American players, you know, or players to come here and actually play, which is fine because there are other leagues everywhere. But I think eventually, it may not be in the next 5, 10, 20 years. I think eventually if pro leagues get too high out of hand, the major sports are going to figure out how to blanket this and put something around it to say, hey, we're the big dogs, y'all the little dogs. We're going to make this work where everybody eat, but we eat the most and you get what you get.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what is really going to come down to in the end. And I don't think not everybody may recognize that, but hey, it's down to happen. Now, moving on, bro. We have to get to it about this with this Man. Job versus Clay, bro.
Dog, like talked about all day. Hopeless got done.
Look. People who've been talking about this Ja versus Clay, I gotta say this. It's ways to look at this, and Rob will even say Clay gave the most old head answer ever. This is how I look at it. Two dudes, button heads, one dude who just saw the peak of his career where he doesn't want to be in Memphis anymore. One dude whose peak is long gone. He got four rings. He's the journeyman. He's like, the best way to put it is he's almost like Bernie Mac and Mr. 3000. You know, I used to hit that. I could see that. That's a curveball right there. And that's where Clay is. He's dating like one of the hottest rap chicks in the game right now, Meg Thee Stallion. To be honest, she causes more attention than him at the game right now because I saw her hanging out the booth, grabbing fans' phones, taking selfies with fans from a distance behind. Hey, look, all due respect to Clay, I respect you. You're one of the Splash Brothers. You got them titles. Splash. You were doing your thing. You were there. You had 60 on less than 10 dribbles. You know, you did all of this. You just never expanded upon your game. You couldn't bounce back from two Achilles. Look.
Achilles and ACL.
Achilles and ACL. It happens. You couldn't get the money you thought that you could get about a Golden State because Golden State say he fading. we need to let him go right now, which Golden State made a hell of a move with it. You going against Ja is not the best thing. Clay, the star power that Clay once had, in my eyes, if he was 90% of himself, right? Let's say he was 90% of himself and he was averaging like close to 20, right at 20 a game, right? I think anything he said could shake maybe Ja a little bit more, you know? He can maybe shake the room, make some move, you know? But as of right now, no. And then when I look at Ja, it's the same thing because he's been so hurt. Y'all beefing over something that the ref sold up after that. One of y'all, yeah, look, you're the YN and the old angry man. That's what y'all doing.
I mean, that's basically what it boils down to.
You yelling at him, turn that down, and he's like, no,
whippersnapper. What are you doing? What, young man? Like, pull your damn pants up.
That's all it is, bro. And what did you see on Blue Sky that made you go, come on now, man?
So for me, you know, like, it was really more like I saw people that didn't really talk about basketball talking about the situation. And it's like, I guess when I initially saw it, because this happened like a day or two ago, I can't remember. But like, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, okay. And I just moved past it because it just did not really register. And then I was looking this morning and I'm seeing like people going off about, oh, well, Ja ain't really doing this. And Ja, he can't really stay on court. And he in street clothes. Why are you talking to him? It's like, he was talking shit. They talk shit. NBA players talk shit all the time. Perfect example. Because this is what I thought about when I saw this situation. So if we go back into the time machine to 2017, mm-hmm. and we go back to when Draymond was talking about Paul Pierce saying, let me get the exact quote so I don't mess this up because I'm liable to mess things up. But essentially he said, chasing that farewell tour. And he's talking to Paul Pierce on the court, or basically the mics caught it or whatever. He's like, chasing that farewell tour. They thought, they don't love you like that. You thought you was Kobe? Like, he basically is shit talking this man who, Paul Pierce, top 75 player of all time, won a championship green. Not, and granted, at this time, Draymond had two, but Draymond Green was never the player that Paul Ever. Pierce was, or at least in the sense of seen by his peers or seen by writers as being one of the best 75 players of all time, like Paul Pierce was. And so if you basically are going at it, it's like, well, Ja Morant ain't the player that Klay Thompson is. You're right. Ja Morant has not done what Klay Thompson has done. Like you said, like my boy Nate said, 60 points on 10 dribbles or whatever it was, where basically Klay went off, multiple championship rings, all that. It was like, yeah, he hadn't had that career. But it's also to the point of motherfuckers shit talk like all the time. It's yes. not really it's not a thing to basically, you know, really pay much attention to. Like, yes, Ja Morant has been in street clothes because he's missed his third straight game with a calf strain. And so, like, yeah, he's in street clothes. And I didn't really look too much into the research of why basically Klay Thompson was doing that. I looked up an article. Basically, yeah, they had some altercations. Thompson had some run-in. He confronted Santi Aldama for tripping Cooper Flagg. I guess the Morant and Thompson had some words after that, and they had an exchange. But it's not as if, like, this is something that, like, everybody kind of got up to separate the two. And as you can see kind of in the picture that, you know, is behind me, you know, they had their little spat, but it's like, it ain't really that deep to where it's like, you know, anything more than just, hey, what's you doing? And I think a lot of people, and honestly, I said this on Blue Sky, I'll say it again, like, just because Klay Thompson is dating Meg Thee Stallion doesn't mean that everybody's got a cape for Klay. Klay is exactly. A cool dude. Klay, you know, is a very chill dude. He's always been that. Like, it's not to where you have to go fight for him. And even the response he gave about Ja Morant, we all want to see him out there and do his best. And he's just letting a lot of other stuff get in the way of that. We need that in the NBA. We need our best players to be out there. When you're a star, it comes with a great responsibility. I hate to see that go to waste. That is a very old head answer. And because he is an old head, and that's fine. And it's a fine answer because he's right. He is absolutely right. Klay Thompson is absolutely right about Ja Morant. Ja Morant is basically that things get in his way between him and his daddy. Like, they've led a lot of things that basically don't need to be in the way. But it's also to the point of, these are two niggas just talking.
That's all this is. This ain't more than that. This ain't no. It could be a misogynoir thing. It could be all these kind of words or whatever. But it's two niggas just shit talking. Yes, I don't see. Is. I don't understand why it needs to be anything more than that. And I don't understand why people need to make it anything more than that. I truly don't.
And look, to add to that, bro, just to prove a point of how much is shit talking, Clay didn't really take anything seriously. Because Clay could have shot shots of, I got four, what he got. It's a lot of things that he could have said personally.
I think he did say something to that point, or people made to that point, but yeah.
But he does make a point, though. The best ability is availability, which Ja Morant hasn't been very available to people.
Right. But it's also, when Clay has been available, he hasn't had the best ability of what he had, which honestly is just part of circle of life. Like Achilles and ACL, old age. Yeah.
You live with that with him. You have to live with that with him, which is what it is. You live with it. You live with it at his age. Say, like, bro, my best years are past me. I know what I did back in the day. I was a G. Splash.
Boy, you should have saw me. Should have saw me on the court. I would pop, 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 pop.
Exactly. He can say all of that to him. And he got it. He has that right to say that to him. And nobody can knock him. Now, Rob, I got to extend people with beef. I don't know if you saw this, but have you watched Kenyon Martin and Draymond go back and forth lately?
I saw something splash up saying that, like, Kenyon Martin had a list of, like, players better than Draymond.
Kenyon Martin went to rattling off a list of people that he named as better power forwards than Draymond. And I'll say this, because we have to talk a little bit about this, and I got to say this, bro. He said something to the effect of...
Let me see if I can pull it up.
He started a list that was, like, Dirk, Timmy, KG, Kevin Love. He even threw like Blake Griffin in there. He threw so many people in there, and I thought about it and I said, damn, he might actually kind of be on to a little something something right here. Look, I say he's not fully cooking, but this is what I'll say. The whole thing started behind them two talking. And Kenyon calling him a fake tough guy, okay? Oh, and then Draymond decided, you know, I'm going to switch gears. You call me a fake tough guy, I'm going to talk about your career. Now, a couple things I saw people cape for Draymond saying, oh, he has all these defensive team players, all-team defensive, and he got a defensive player of the year and all of this, and he got four rings. I will say this. What player, and I thought long and hard about this before I even decided to make this statement on the show today. What player did Draymond ever have to guard that was so dominant and that they could say he was the only person that he had that he would be able to guard in this era? What player was that they stuck him on and told him go guard that dude and stop him?
Brian.
Iggy was on Bron.
And Iggy tore the fuck up. I mean, those other series, he wasn't on Bron?
Not really. They didn't ask him to guard Bron like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I thought about it. Kenyon Martin was a rim protector. He was a defender. But the problem was, he had to always guard KG, Shaq, Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Shaq in his prime is not a man on this earth unless Superman appears. That's stopping Shaq in his prime from getting to this goal. I saw a clip and Kenyon Martin was like, yeah, they'd switch and I'd pick up Shaq. And I saw this just massive hawking 7-foot diesel grab the ball. And he drop step in all of the highlights. I saw Kenyon Martin blocking shots before that. Shaq went elbow turn, and it was over.
like a typical Shaq like reaction.
it was over with that fast. And that's what made me say, what guy did Draymond really have to stop? Because they never really required him to. He's a really great defender. And I'll speak to it in comparison of Rudy Gobert winning a defensive player. Actually, I think he won actually a couple. Rudy isn't a straight up shot blocker. He's a weak side shot blocker. He comes over and gets a lot of blocks.
Right.
And I looked at it as, a guy who's a weak side shot blocker, even though he's coming over, he won the defensive player of the year. You did choke him out now.
You did choke him. Yes, that is true. But that is different. I guess when they, so like with Draymond, I think when, I can't think of a specific player that they was like, hey, go get him. But I know that it was always that, or the notion about Draymond was that he could guard all five positions, especially with his size, the way he can move around. But I guess for me, it was the fact of the matter of he had to basically do, like, he had to guard a lot of people's best players. So, I mean, I would basically, I guess, think of it more along the line of, and it was also with Draymond, he had to push the ball. So, like, he was a lot of the conduit for that offense.
Yeah.
Where basically Steph could basically play off the ball and really get into his shot. Klay, same thing. Where he didn't have to basically get on the ball and basically take somebody off the dribble and basically go do it like that. He was that guy that kind of like stirred the pot and steered the ship with a lot of things within that Warriors dynasty, if you will. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess he wasn't the most dominant. Really, to be honest, like, of the dudes you named, it was like, I got to Kevin Love, and I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I would take Draymond over Kevin Love.
Would you? The 2020 double?
He was 2020 on a bad team. Like, he was one of those Charles Barkley quotes, like, a looter in a riot. Like, a looter in a hurricane, or whatever team. It was.
That was
those team. Those Wolves teams?
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not just a bad team. That was a horrible team.
That's what I'm saying. That was a horrible team. I'm saying, like, he wasn't, like, I mean, granted, he contributed on those Cleveland teams that basically won the title, but it was a team that had LeBron and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was there, yeah, he played a role, but him and LeBron played very similar roles, and that was the thing about it. He wasn't a guy, and granted, Draymond wasn't either. Like, Draymond was a contributor to guys that basically were and are, even though Klay, you know, wasn't named to the top 75 team and should have been. He's a guy that basically were the guy that made things happen with that. Like, but Kevin Love will not be seen as the guy that made those Cleveland championships happen. Okay. He was the guy that basically was a contributor with LeBron.
Let's say just player for player. You take a Draymond over Kevin Love.
Like, I guess if you're saying, like, alone, he was, Kevin Love was a better shooter.
That's how I'm looking at it. Because Draymond has accolades, but he was a contributor to some of the accolades. But whenever we speak in peer power forward, whenever Kenyon was naming people, I was like, Kenyon got some sauce with some of the dudes that he named because Prime KG, I think, will kill Draymond. KG, because I want to say Prime KG did win a DPOY one time. And I know he was a league MVP. Because he did win a league MVP.
And carried that team. Yep.
Yeah, that Timberwolves team is so not talked about how much of like a carry he was for that. And I'll be honest with you. I would have loved to seen him and Kobe teamed up. I just wish Kobe would have picked up that phone that time. Because that would have been a crazy team. That would have been a crazy good team with him and Kobe. I look at Blake because I've watched Draymond guard Blake. And to be honest with you, the only thing he could really do with Blake was falling. I don't think he could have hold Timmy because KG was like, yeah, Timmy, do you?
So of the AI list that I pulled up, like, yeah, I see Giannis, I see Anthony Davis, I see Dirk, Charles Barkley, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone, Chris Webber. I can't name a player. I can't really say that Draymond, but as Draymond is better than any of them. I can say that. I can't say that for sure. I can say he is the most he's the second most important player on that Warriors team.
Yes, he is.
But I can't say outright that he's a better player than those guys that I just named. Yeah. Like an outright better player.
Yeah. Outright, but he is a crucial piece to that Warriors team. And I remember me and you talking about this. I remember saying that one of them got to go. And like I said, I think Clay will go before they let Draymond, and they let Clay go before they let Draymond. Because no matter how you cut it, you can say, oh, all he do is set screens and he pick up. That's all they need him to do. He's really good at that. We can find another shooter.
He did a lot of work that basically those the guys weren't really asked to do because he basically made that happen.
Yeah.
He was the cleanup man that basically made sure that a lot of things were running and humming. And I think you can't, as far as a winning franchise, you can't really, it's harder to replace that than a pop and shoot guy.
Yeah. It really is. Now, Kmart, I'm with you on some of the people that you pick, but Draymond has had the better career. He had a better career than you, but it's not just because of him. It's because of everything around him, and he contributed to that. So, like, man, look, no disrespect, Kmart. I'm not look here, sir. I'm not going against you.
Yeah. Like I think
in peace.
You might be right. I don't know if I'm gonna look at the whole list, but I wish both of y'all well in y'all endeavors as y'all fighting about this.
Yeah. Now look, that don't mean that you should pull up and smack him now, because I feel like Kenyon is one of them dudes. I feel like if he saw Draymond, he might pull up and smack Draymond just to see what happens after that.
Hey, look, all I will say is if y'all gonna smack each other, get a promoter, do the Jake Paul thing, get a promoter, and then duke it out. Make some money off of it. Make it worthwhile. Make it worthwhile. You know, because if y'all look, I am a person of, if you got an issue to get, go get that issue. So if you got something that you need to fight about, go ahead, scrap it out. Like I ain't gonna tell you not to fight. If y'all gotta fight, go fight. If y'all can just trade barbs over the internet things like we're doing, well, you go ahead and do that. But you know, if y'all need to swab it out, squab it out. You know?
Yeah. Now, moving on from the beef to bust, as in the title of our live
today. Look at that transition. Look at that one transition.
If Zion
Draymond on the break.
Yep, Draymond on the break, bro. If Zion's career ended today, would we consider him the greatest sports bust? If it had to end today, we might, because he has had some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows. And his low wasn't even on the court. It was the Mariah Mills incident.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying, we might consider him one of the greatest busts of his career did end the day, which I is not going to, please.
It's a crazy. I mean, honestly, it's one of those things that's like, I would say you got to think about, but it's a crazy statement to make.
Yeah.
Because I would say like, yeah, he'd probably be, if you had to basically be like, all right, here's the bust. Let's lay them all out there. Like, we got the Kwame Browns of the world. We got the Michael Olajuwon. We got the Anthony Bennett's of the world. Is he the greatest of the worst? Is he the king of the Deadpool?
Yes. But Jesus, in pediatric Jesus' name, don't let nothing else go wrong with his foot. Just because I want to see him just excel in New Orleans, because that's the home state. This is my home in Louisiana, as you must. But I don't want him to be hurt, but if he had to retire, he probably would be, because Zion has had moments coming in. And the first moment I'll speak on is, I don't know if you remember this, but whenever he stripped Kevin Knox and then dunked the ball, Kevin Knox ain't been right since. I don't even know where the hell Kevin Knox is right now.
On a bench near you.
He ripped him, and He it's like he little boy. He was like, look, I'm going to take this ball from you, and then I'm going to dunk it. And what you going to do about it?
It was like NBA Street. If y'all remember NBA Street or like NBA Jam, where basically you have a guy that's like this and then you just swipe it and then you just take it. That's basically what it was. Like, check the video. Like, if y'all ever go look up your YouTubes, just like on we're on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you ever look basically up like Kevin Knox and Zion Williamson, it was literally like he just and then dunked that shit.
Yeah. Which was crazy word. That shit was crazy word. He has dunked across Wimby this season. I won't say directly on, but he's gotten Wimby. He's had
it was the first game of the year, and it was their first game. And yeah, he dunked on them. Yeah, dunked on.
Well, I'm saying that because I'm tired of arguing with these Spurs fans about this. Okay, I'm tired of arguing with these Spurs fans about this whether or not he got dunked on. Okay, but he clearly he dunked on Wimby. Zion is one of those guys who I could see him, if he could be healthy from here on out,
mm-hmm.
he could be very good. Now, another guy that we talk about whenever we think bust, well, some people think about this, is Anthony Davis. Would I consider him a bust personally? I don't think so, because he was a part of that championship team that they won the Mickey Mouse ring, even though I consider it the Mickey Mouse ring.
Look, I don't know why.
That's a whole other discussion.
All
right. I'm just saying, it's a whole other discussion with the Mickey Mouse ring. But I think Anthony Davis' problem is not that he's a bust, but he's Mr. Glass. Every time I want to say, look at you, Anthony. Look at how great you are. He go out there and he just, oh. My back, my knee, my shoulder, my groin, and it's injury after injury after injury. It's if you pulled up a full body x-ray of him and had to highlight everything that was wrong with him, there's going to be sticky notes all over there pointing to different crap that's wrong with him or that has happened to him. And even though I can't consider him a bust, I'll say this. He did something that Grant Hill skated away from, which was he won a championship because Grant Hill never got a championship. I don't think he's been out quite as long as Grant Hill career-wise because Grant Hill had some tremendous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Grant Hill had some tremendous gaps at times. But I don't think I can consider him a bust. Could you consider Anthony Davis a bust, though, Rob?
It's like part of me, yes, because like I guess when we talk about bust and when we talk about like what can be and can't be considered a bust, I'm not saying that he is a bust, but it's one of those things like I'm willing to engage in the conversation because with Anthony Davis of what he is, yes, he did win a championship. If he said did not win that championship, it wasn't a key contributor on that championship, would it be to where it's like we would think of him as you underachieved? You did not do as much as what we thought is you would shoot what you should be as the number one overall pick. Let's pull up his base basketball reference. You know, 10-time All-Star, 3-time block champ, all rookie team, 5-time all NBA, 5-time all defense, All-Star MVP, and top 75 player. Like, granted, that is, I guess, the top 75 player would basically make him to where he's not a bust. But it's like, should he have done more? Should he have been more? That's where it is, because like when we talk about Greg Oden, for example, let's say that injuries derailed his career and basically said made it to where he is considered a bust. But if he basically stayed in that career, would do we think that he would have been like this? Do we think he would have been this premier shot blocker that is a 3-time block champ, 5-time All NBA, or should he have been considered that? I guess what my overall thing is. What do we consider like a career projection for a number one overall pick? Should you basically be somebody that is a perennial all-star, somebody that should be a key contributor on a championship team, somebody that basically should be multiple time all-star, multiple time all NBA or whatever. If that's the consideration, then it's like, how much should you be that if you're basically this can't miss dude? And so, cause like with Zion, for example, Zion has averaged 24 points a game as of right now for his career. He's only basically played 61 games and 70 games as far as like the high totals in his 6-year career so far. Everything else has been like 24, 5, like just not much. So it's like, what is the declination of bust? Like, when do we consider a bust a bust? Or is it just like, you know it when you see it? You know, like, what is it?
I feel like it has to be a know it when you see it thing plus a huge lack of production. I put Anthony Davis, and it's two people. It was one other person that I'm willing to compare Anthony Davis to, and that's Kawhi Leonard. And I call them hospitalized Hall of Famers. Okay? And I know it sounds funny, but I'm explaining why. They have every injury in the book. Kawhi's knee looks like it could be a Decepticon. Okay? Anthony Davis, the AD could stand for always damaged. But they have rings. They've been high-end defensive players. They have been huge parts of championship teams. Okay? And they've made it happen. And whenever they're healthy, their production is off the chart. They're like a Ferrari. Whenever your Ferrari breaks, it's some shit. It's going to be down a little while. They got to order this and order that and get specialists and special that before it can come back. But whenever it's peak and it's running and all the fluids are there and nothing is going wrong, this is a hell of a machine right here. But that's why I call them hospitalized Hall of Famers. Whenever they hurt, they hurt. But it's two things, especially Kawhi. And I came up with the term to define Kawhi because he's my number one in that category. Whenever he helped the Spurs win a championship, we were like, damn, he can be really good. And then he left and went to Toronto in a DeMar DeRozan swap, which I don't think anybody till this day, until everything played out the way it played, would have said that it's possible to swap somebody mid-season, one star for a dude who's been in another place his entire career. We're going to swap you two, and it's going to make the difference in them winning the championship. And it did.
Right.
That crazy shot that bounced on the rim in the Philly series. But it went in. Sometimes the ball bounces that way. Literally. But they did it. And whenever they did it, all I could say is, damn, he really made that happen. And with him winning in two different organizations and saying, I won here, and then I left, to me, that's the biggest one shot, one kill that you could ever have in the NBA. Because you went there in a trade. You told Kyle Lowry, I know you upset your friends leaving, but we can win this thing. And then you won this thing. And then you left. It's one of the greatest things that could ever happen to me as a viewer watching this and him as a player. Because who else could say that? Who else could say that they left a team, won a championship, and then left?
LeBron.
With Cleveland,
yeah. I mean, he left there. He left Cleveland, went to Miami, won a championship, left there, went to Cleveland, won a championship, left there, went to LA, won a championship.
Yeah, but it took him a few tries at every spot, though. This is literally,
I mean, he won a championship in every spot, though.
Yeah, he did. But I'm talking purely one shot, one kill. He went up there. It was
just straight up. Yeah.
It was a straight up sniper kill. He went in there. He snuck in with his ghillie, pow, and snuck back out with the trophy. And he was like, dang.
That's true.
It's like, who else could do that? But that's the term I have for him. Hospitalized Hall of Famers, though. They write them. It's just whenever you think about how good they were, in my head, I'm always say, damn. His ass wasn't always hurt. What else could he have done? What else could he have been? Because the reason I look at that from Kawhi is because Kawhi has those huge hands like Mike had. And he has that mid-range game like Mike had. And he's a defender like Mike. And it's like, damn, dog. We compare Kobe so much because of the aesthetic of how Kobe and Mike's game mirror each other. But Kawhi has a pretty nice post-up game. He has the physical genetic build more like Mike. if this dude would have been healthy his entire career, would we be considering him on par with Mike and Kobe and stuff? Because he's there. Kobe didn't have those huge mitts. Just Kawhi and Mike got them huge ass hands. Them, hey, I can palm the sun if I want to. Okay? Even Craig Hodges said that. He said that's one of the huge differences between Mike and Kobe. He said that mitt. He said where Kobe might be shooting to, we knew it was an and one with him. He'd hold on to the ball hanging mid-air finish, and we knew it was 3 points after that. And I've thought about that so many times. I'm like, damn, if Kawhi just could have not had all of those knee problems, because he's having knee problems like Mike had whenever he was a Wizard. He's having those actually worse, and he had them way younger, which is crazy to think with all of the technology that we have here today that he hasn't figured out something or figured out what it could be that's causing him to have this just knee, hamstring, you know, something eventually. But you never know. But hospitalized Hall of Famers, though. Remember that.
Yep. Right.
Always remember that. Now, with that being said, more about people being injured. Steve Kerr thinks that the pace of today's NBA's game is what's actually causing a lot of these injuries. Now, Rob, do you think that this is a legit thing with saying that the pace of the game right now is what's causing this massive uptick in groin injuries right now? Do you think that that's a real thing?
I can see it. Like we talked about, or like I talked about early on, if you basically are at, you know, because a lot of these guys play AAU, they play all year round, they still play sometimes all year round in certain capacities. And it's like when you basically enhance and basically do more stuff, have more pace, have more running and stuff like that, it's going to accentuate those, you know, soft tissue injuries. So like, for example, I remember somebody bringing it up. Think about like the playoffs last year. You had Tyrese Halliburton, young dude. You had Jason Tatum, young dude. Dame Lillard, not an incredibly old dude, but, you know, a youngish dude. All go down with injuries that are Achilles injuries that are more like wear and tear, old injuries that people get when they're way older. I mean, granted, Kevin Durant had that same kind of injury, and, you know, like, but it's like you're getting more of these guys that's having these. Like back in the day, it was like, you know, Dominique Wilkins would get his tear his Achilles, and basically his career was damn near over. You know, you had other cats that basically just had these type of injuries, and now younger cats again. It kind of reminds me of like, and it's not the exact same, it's just a parallel that I'm trying to bring up. But I remember when like people would talk about like these dogs and stuff like that would get these more human type diseases, where it's like getting diabetes and heart high blood pressure because, you know, people feed them table scraps and everything like that. Like when you basically have something that like the pace of play accentuating the game and basically bringing things in that essentially are unforeign that are foreign to like what people's bodies are used to, there's going to be a natural, you know, storm of evolution, I would say. Like something that basically comes in and says, okay, well, this is going to break down. This is going to hurt. This is going to basically be here because their body's got to get attuned to it. So like the next generation, especially if they keep with this pace of play, the next generation should be fine. They're going to be probably playing like, you know, supersonic, you know, pun intended. But like they're gonna basically be playing super fast because they've now grown used to the pace of play and how basically that impacts the body. But like the guys that we have right now that have been playing a certain type of way that are now basically getting sped up, yeah, it's gonna basically, you're gonna see more of these soft tissue injuries, you're gonna see more of these injuries like groin. So Steve Kerr, I think it's right.
So I'll say this. I do agree with Steve Kerr to a certain degree, but I also feel like part of this has to be on how your training staff is keeping pace with what's going on. And I think that if the training staff is jumping in front of what's happening with people, that this can be prevented. And in the long run, like you said, the next generation of players probably are going to be used to this. But, excuse me, we also don't know what the next generation might fold because, well, might bring because, like I said, we've only had one Shaq and some of these guys are getting progressively bigger and the evolution of 7-footers is getting crazy. I just saw, I forgot which college team, guys out just shooting threes and then he's running dunk and he's running like he's 6'6 and flying to the goal and he's 7'1" and I'm like, oh my God, it's like whew, thank God Shaq couldn't do that.
Right.
It's like if Shaq could do that, we would have been in trouble in the 90s.
Right.
He already caused enough physical harm to men in the post then. Thank God he couldn't do that. He could run. He could run whenever he was Orlando Shaq, but goddamn. But it's things that I'll say are like this. Do I think that this is something that's a trend that they need to get a hold of? Yes. Do I think that they've kind of got a hold on it? I think now, maybe, they have a slight hold on it. Do I think that it's something to look out for? Yeah. I think that it's something that we as like sports fans need to pay attention to. Hey, your favorite person might be a groin injury case type person, you know, eventually. Now, two things did come across my mind, Rob, that I want to talk about before we get up out of here. One of them is LeBron related. LeBron can only miss, I think, another 3 games before he's ineligible for awards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are the chances that you think that he misses those 3 games?
If I put a percentage on it, 90.
90?
Yeah. I don't think he cares. And I don't think he would. I don't think he should. I think his legacy, because I know I saw that, his all NBA streak is basically, it could come to an end because of the new rules. And to be honest, I could see this being the end to the new rules, to be honest with you.
You think so?
Because the thing is, like, because I remember, because this is a Dan Le Batard show, is a guy named Mineo Hassan who used to work for the, he used to work for the Suns, and he was talking about, like, essentially writers usually discern when it comes to, like, the games limit or whatever, because they had the 65 games. Usually you get the award. Like, they usually discern saying, like, okay, if you had a good season, but you didn't play as many games as this other player that had a good season, they're going to give it to that other player. So it was unnecessary to basically make a limit. And you see guys that basically – they'll run up on the court, they'll, you know, go to the tip off, foul somebody, and then leave the game just so they can basically get the minimum number of games or whatever to be eligible. So I think that they're going to basically, it might be to where they take it out, not just because of LeBron, but just because it's like, okay, no, this was an unnecessary thing to do. But I mean, this nigga's in like year 23. Like, the fuck he gonna care about another all NBA? Like, he ain't gonna go. I don't know LeBron. I don't think he's gonna give a fuck about that because it's like, why? Like, if he doesn't get the, especially like we're in what, November right now.
Yeah.
Like, if he doesn't play, I don't think he's gonna be to where he's gonna basically be like, ooh, I can't miss more than 3 games, you know, until April. Like, no, that nigga gonna sit the fuck out, drink some wine, talk on a podcast, and live his life because of like. His legacy is already sewn up. He's got the most points out of anybody ever. He's played the most minutes out of anybody ever. Like, it's all sewed up.
I don't think that he cares, but then I don't think a lot of players care due to the fact that they're getting paid. Like, my favorite target to throw in this is Paul George. Paul George will go sit on the podcast and get paid every goddamn time. And I'm not saying that he doesn't care for basketball, but what I am saying is this. His paycheck is right. He ain't missing no money. So he going to sit his ass down somewhere else and he's going to chill out, you know?
I think they do care about this award because, like I said, you got players that are just like going into games just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
I think they do care. I think it's just a thing of, with a player like LeBron or even maybe Paul George, it's like, my legacy is what it is at this point. Like, I really got nothing to chase. And so, like, I don't need to break myself to go get this damn award.
Yeah.
I don't need to basically act anything untowards to go get this award.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's really my thing with LeBron. Like, I don't think he's going to basically be like, oh, I need to make sure I got perfect attendance. Like, nah,
I think that there's like several lines in this, and one of them is a line where I know if I miss, I'm still playing for a championship. And then it's a line of where I think LeBron them kind of are. If I get a championship, I get a championship. But if I miss games, I miss games. I'm kind of playing the game because I love the game and I want to see what I have left in the tank. And I think that's the line where LeBron is. And I think people like Paul George are like, okay, I kind of want a championship. I want to be healthy to win. But if it don't happen, it doesn't happen. And I think the younger guys are the guys who are like, okay, I'm putting together my resume. Let me get my ass out here and win. The only way I'm not going to be out here and winning is if I'm physically just unable to do this, which is totally, you know, fine. Like, I understand it. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of this plays out in the long term. If they get rid of the rule, if they don't get rid of the rule, how they make it affect, because it does have some effect. Well, if they don't make all NBA teams for like some of their contracts, Supermax stuff.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's where it's going to really come in. Like, niggas going to care.
Yeah. That's where I think, you know, it's that the money. But I think once a lot of them dudes get so much money, they're like, okay, I ain't tripping, you know.
Yeah.
10, 20, whatever.
Because the thing is, like, a player like Paul George, I think it might be his body is fucking it. Like, because one of the things, even though I know, like, I know you call him regular season Yuri.
Yep.
You're like, one thing you got to keep in mind is, like, that nigga broke his leg in that, what was that, Olympic trial game.
And I'm going to be honest with you. That's why I think the root of his shit started. I think that somewhere along the rehab line with that, I don't know if he pushed himself, because whenever that happened to him, it kind of was doing that phase of Paul George needs to prove himself to see where he's going to be. And I think somewhere along there is where he screwed himself physically. And he wasn't all the way there. And that's why he's turning the regular season year. But he didn't got paid. He didn't got paid so many times. At this point, to me, it's like it don't even matter. It doesn't matter. You didn't got your money. You know you good for what you didn't got. So it doesn't matter. But at now, he's just Paul George. He's going to get what he gets. He's doing his thing. Hey, salute to him. And keep talking on the podcast. But, you know, I like watching that shit. My other one thing that I want to talk about, Rob, I know that you're probably not going to want to talk about this too much, because we've kind of been dodging this and dodging the acknowledgement of this actually even happening. The circus Barnum and Bailey fight that was going to happen, Jake Paul, Gervonta Davis, got changed. He went through the whole, hey, Gervonta's a scumbag, putting his hands, blah, blah, blah. We don't even know all the details. He played it out like that. We don't even really know if he did everything that he's accused of. But Jake Paul used that to move on. Now, the surprise was who the replacement opponent was, okay? Being Anthony Joshua. Okay. Right. I got to speak on this right now, because this has been on my mind for quite some time. He went with Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua did knock out Francis. Okay.
Knock the fuck out.
Now, in my heart of hearts, right here, it would please me so much if he did the same thing now. Okay. I'm not going to bank on him, but it would please me if he went out here and knocked him out, because a couple things that went through my mind is this. Anthony Joshua, if you let him drag this fight on, that championship shit that you still looking for, that you searching for a heavyweight title, it's over with. If you let this fight drag out longer than what it has to be, don't you go to the WBO by no goddamn champion. Don't you talk to no heavyweight league about
nobody
about you want to fight with a champion. You don't want no Usyk. You don't want nobody. You sit your ass in the corner now, okay? Because I feel like if you don't foot the ass against him, or at least beat on him for some rounds and make him pay, it's nothing for me to talk about with you boxing ever again. But what did you think whenever you saw him step in? At, because they did a face-off, and Anthony Joshua just towers over him. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the face-off. I was like, yeah, you better whoop his ass. That's all that went through my mind.
I mean, honestly, I was like, whatever. I was... If this is supposed to be legit, then I'm good with, I'm fine. I guess, you know me, like, I ain't gonna care about this because it's a sparring match. This is, yeah. This, all it is a glorified sparring match for people to go out and watch. And it's just really more because, and credit to Jake Paul, because I think the thing with Jake Paul is, and I've made this point when it came to the other fights, when it came to Jake Paul. Jake Paul likes boxing.
Yeah.
And Jake Paul wants to fight these fighters that, or at least box these fighters that are known, like that are well known and stuff like that. But he wants to make money. And so he's like, if I can basically say that I can spar with, say, Mike Tyson, or I can spar with Anthony Joshua, and I can basically have a bunch of people come in and watch it, I can get paid from it. I think they said that Anthony Joshua was supposed to make like $70 million from the fight. Like that's supposed to be like what he's supposed to make. Like if I can get people paid and the undercard is going to get paid with it too. We're going to be here in Miami in right before Christmas. Like if I can make all these things happen, why not? And I think that's a great thing. I don't think I'm not a big fan of who Jake Paul is or him or his brother, but like, as far as maximizing opportunity and basically making it to where other people are getting a maximized opportunity as well. I mean, I can only commend that. Like, I can only basically be like, hey, that's dope. And that's something that everybody should strive for. Be that as it may, you know, am I going to give any credence to the fight? If I have to basically make any effort to watch the fight, I ain't doing that shit. Like I don't need to watch that shit. Like credit to anybody that does. All power to you. I'm not spending any kind of fucking effort to watch that fucking fight. Like I don't care to watch it. I'll basically see the clips whenever it pop up on wherever, and I'll just go for there. Like I don't care to watch the fight. But hey, I credit to everybody to do.
I will say this, and I thought about this. And this will be the last thing that I'll say before we, you know, get up out of here for the live today. You know, I thought about this. Would you rather get knocked out by a guy smaller than you or a guy bigger than you?
I would say no.
Okay. I thought about this for this reason. If Gervonta Davis would have knocked him out, because see, there's no reason that he really couldn't continue with that fight. Okay. But just in case Gervonta Davis put together a flurry of punches that did happen to put him down, would you rather go out saying, I got knocked out by the dude that I outweighed by 50, 60 pounds? Now, granted, he is a professional. Or if I get slugged once or twice by this huge dude and I go down, is it more feasible for me to come back at a later point and continue to box?
But I feel like you asked me a question. Do I want to get shot in my arm or do I want to get shot in my leg? I'm getting shot. Like, I don't want to get knocked out. Like, I guess for me, it's like, I ain't trying to get knocked out by big, small, heavy, or tall. Like, I don't, it ain't for me. It's like, I ain't trying to get knocked out. So that's the bear. So would I rather get knocked out by somebody bigger or smaller than me? It's six in one hand, half dozen in the other. For me,
I just don't want to get knocked out.
Yeah, so it's like it's a push, you know, to my face. Like that's what it would be. So it's like, you know what? For the sake of answering the question, I say big. I don't want to get knocked out by somebody big because it just feels like there's gonna be some heaviness behind it. If you want an answer, I'll give you that answer.
Okay, so I thought about that, and I said from a public perspective and the ability to monetize the next fight. You can go out here and say a former guy who's fought these huge guys knocked me the hell out versus Gervonta Davis knocking me out.
Right.
And I said, maybe that's the angle on this one. Because if he go out there and he loses to him and he gets knocked out, it's whatever. Yeah. They're going to say, look how big Anthony Joshua pause. Look how big Anthony Joshua is. He's a huge boxer. Mm-hmm. Versus Javonte Davis knocked your ass up. That's right. All I'm going to say. I think that's one of the goals on that one. And I was like, eh, okay, I got you. Fair enough. Yeah. But I think that's how that's going to play out in the end, bro. I think that's how that's going to play out in the end. And it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
Just keep putting on circus fights, bro, until you're ready to actually fight them dudes in your division. I know you don't want to get slapped and slaughtered, so hey, it'll never happen.
Right.
But with that being said, is it anything else that you want to talk about or say before we go ahead and get up out of there, Rob?
Oh, man, good night. Good night, Canada. Good night, Taylor Swift. Welcome to the new page. Like, this is where we're going to be, boy. So it's like, whatever day, subscribe, like everything. Then you're going to basically be in tune to when we come down and basically talk to y'all about, two guys fighting over here or two guys fighting in December. Like, it could be anything, like we maybe Ja and Clay should just go ahead. Box.
Just box.
Go ahead. Swab it out, the old man versus the young buck and all that kind of good stuff. So even though it's Clay, I think it's like 37. So, but either way, y'all be easy and y'all stay good.
Yeah, always stuff. Be easy. Look, come over here, the new page, Bramigos Podcast Live. We'll use the old Bramigos page to post clips, but you guys have a great night. Enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy some football. Enjoy some basketball. Get it in, because it's sports season.
Get in there.
Yeah, you gotta get in there. Do your thing, though. We out of here. Peace.